Coach?
Good morning, it is. Yeah, it was really a wonderful time to come and to praise and worship. And it really, when I was just praising and worshiping, it really filled me so much so that God was revealing many things to me. Yeah, so today, what we are seeing last, we are into the Christmas season. And we have seen the first session which went the miracle of moment, that it is at the appointed time. It was revealed long back that Savior is going to come. And we see that at the right moment, Lord Jesus came. It was decided earlier because it was prophesied and it was fulfilled. Then the miracle of method we have seen. Now we are going to see the miracle of message. Message is what? Message reveals many things. Like as I was worshipping today, and then God revealed me this verse, Acts, which I shared, a word of encouragement. The thing is, the word of God, it penetrates through joints and marrows, it is. And it reveals many things. It touches our hearts and speaks in many ways. So we see that the message is what we are going to see, how it works at a miracle. Okay? So this message is, you know, it transforms our lives. Not only it transforms us from the what we are. And that is why we are here. In some or the other way, we have been transformed. And that is why we have left all everything and we have come at this time to celebrate it. So let us see what transformation means. What does transformation from bad to good mean? It is already given. It is important to know that a shift from bad to God can mean different things depending on your interpretation. And he says that bad can refer to immoral acts, sinful nature, criminal background, or anything which is not contrary to good. So that is what bad things we speak of. Even day to day, we speak of many bad things. This is not right, this is good. So it depends upon our interpretation. So then, what is good? Good can be interpreted as having faith in God. We all are the children of God, children of living God. So we can think in spiritual realms. So it says that good can be interpreted as having faith in God, repenting from sins, being saved by grace, or doing acts of kindness, no matter how we define bad and good. The Bible teaches us that anyone is capable of change with God's help. So when we look at the Bible, it has many stories to reveal the things, not only that how the transformation takes place. So it is like we see in the Bible, there are many stories which sinners who have become the saints. Even the New Testament word of God says we all are saints. Do we believe? Don't be silent. Do we believe? We are saints. So sinners who became saints, then outcast people, outcast, they became heroes in the Bible. And then we see it is all because they have encountered God and who transformed their lives. Now, if you move around the world, it defines your past. That is why you are like this. We keep on saying, you know, because you have not done so and so, so that is why you are like this. World defines that. But what Bible tells? Bible tells us that with God, nothing is impossible. And anyone can be changed. It is not that only some few people will be changed. Nothing is possible with God. Anybody can be changed. And that is why we see some of the things which we can go through this. I took this angel's message to Mary in particularly, I took it because we have seen she was full of just. She had a jealous zeal for God. And that is what he says, Luke 1:28 onwards. He says, the angel went to her. It was like Gabriel who came and who spoke to Mary. And what did he spoke? That is what it is. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are the highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Then Mary, 38, what Mary answers to the angel, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. See, we see her the submission. And then she comes, she's filled, full of joy. She goes to her cousin Elizabeth. And there they interact with each other. And we see she's full of joy and she sings a song. So we are going to sing. We are going to see on this song what Mary said. She was a little troubled. She was fearful when the angel came. And then she said that I am virgin. How it can be? But then she took the message, she took the word from the angel because she knew what it was. And that is why we see. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of your servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. 46 to 49, we see that. We'll read all the verses. He said, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with the good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. Remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. A fearful, a troubled, as she was virgin, she is singing this song. What we see here, she is full of the scriptures. If we go to see, she is totally full of the scriptures, and we see this is some extraordinary song. And what is there in her heart, her mouth is speaking. See the way she speaks of. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord. She is fully saturated. Why? And sees all this song is only God-centered. We were praising and worshipping today. What happened? We all were exalting our God. We were looking at who God is, how mighty he is, how powerful he is. We came across he is our salvation, he is our redeemer. This song is full of scriptures. And if you, how many of you read the Bible? If you read, don't raise hands. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But if you read the Bible and you refer this song, Mary's song, you'll see number of references. That shows she's full of scriptures. She knew who God is, what it is going. That is why he says, let it be so, as you said. And that is why he says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Here we see Mary is totally saturated, and then she says that all that is within me and all that is everything I have, I give glory to God. Nothing short of my very being glorifies Lord. That is what she sings. And then she says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Still she needed Savior in her life. And she says, she rejoices. Rejoices is something different than happiness. Because happiness is something different. There is difference. Looks like both are similar. Synonymous. If you are well versed with the English, you'll got it is equivalent word you'll call as. But happiness, you know, past some 2-3 weeks, we had a cricket match. All 10, whatever the matches were, they won and they had come to the final. Which was that team? India. India had won all the teams. And people had come with so much of happiness. But then what happened? So happiness is nothing but shallow. It is a word which is really shallow compared to rejoice. May whatever the circumstances you may be. She had so much of sense because she must be worried. I am a virgin. How I will be? What people will think of him? Because at the Old Testament, they have to stone the woman who has been pregnant without before marriage. But she went ahead. So, your rejoice. And the word of God says, if you see Philippians 3:1, finally, brother says, rejoice in the Lord. Not only that, chapter 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Whatever your circumstances may be, whatever your issues, whatever your problems are there, she was rejoicing. And he says, he is my Savior. Then for he was mindful of the humble state of his servant. She was really humble. What is humbleness? Humbleness is what? Humbleness is having, you will come to know many things. The word of God, you should know how big our God is. Unless and until you know who you are, we have to study ourselves and God. We boast on ourselves in many things. We are such and such and such things. But then, you will know how big, how sinner I am when we compare to God, how big He is, how mighty He is. We'll come to know how sinners we are when we look at His holiness. That is why she says, she is humble. And then we see the attributes. I think so most of you all have done, what is that, foundation course. In foundation course, we come across many attributes. So this is, she is full of attributes. She says, mighty one, holy one, His mercies, He is merciful. Then we see the sovereignty of God. He is all sovereign God. And then we see that He has performed mighty deeds. He has scattered. He has brought down rulers. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry, but has been sent the rich away. He has helped His servant, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised. He is a God who is faithful. He is a God of promise. And here He speaks only how beautiful Mary has sung this song. Well taught, well having the knowledge of God, she was totally saturated with God. That is why she could sing this song. So what do? We learn many things from this. Are we saturated with the word of God? Are we knowing who God is? How holy He is, how mighty He is. Are we humble as she was humble? Gabriel, because if you see here, one of the verses says earlier, he says, for he has been mindful of me, of the humble state of his servant, for now on all generation. Because the word of God, Gabriel came and said, the Holy Spirit will come and overpower you. That's the beauty of the scriptures. That's the beauty of the message which we see. Yeah, we go ahead. Because there are many such stories when we see about. But I want to trace on this. God, my Savior. She says, 138, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left. And 147, he says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Just which we saw Mary's song. It was foretold in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 43:11, I, even I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. Whoever he may be, there is no beside God. He is the only Savior. Not only that, 4:12, somebody was sharing, or Sandeep was sharing to just this morning, a word of encouragement, he read from the Luke. Simeon, what he said, he looked with his own eyes and he said, he is my salvation. What about that Anna, who was a widow above 87 years old or 80 years old? What this is, my Redeemer. They've seen it with their own eyes and they could see it. And that is why he says, Isaiah 43:11, he says, I, even I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. Salvation is found, Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only salvation. Friends, whoever has not believed, believe in God, so that you'll be rest assured for your future. Because salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Speaks about the Old Testament, this Simeon and that old widow, they witnessed among themselves. Not only that, as I was sharing today morning, that same Jesus who conquered the grave was going up, and he says, same Jesus is going to come back. Friends, if you don't believe, please remember, he is the only salvation. And this verse 4:12, it speaks. It says that, I want to read how Peter who denied Jesus 3 times, then later on, see, he speaks to whom? To Sanhedrins, that is Council of Jerusalem, who were Sadducees are there, Pharisees are there, teachers of the laws are there, then even the chief priests are there. To them, because he had healed a lame person and they were accounting, and he was put into prison. And what they were preaching? They were preaching that in Jesus there is resurrection. And then he's put into jail because it was in the evening, then morning he is brought out before all these Sanhedrin people. And then I'll read out, I'm not dotted down, but I'll read out this verse. He says, Acts 4:8-12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you whom you crucified, but who God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is Peter talking, who denied Jesus, and that in front of the council. who was there? Caiaphas was there. Alexander was there. Teachers were there. Sadducees were there. All were there. In front of them, it is you who crucified him. See the way he speaks this. But then he realized, these are what? Unschooled people. They were not educated. When God can transform such people, how about us? He can transform us. But friends, let us get saved. This is the message. Even Mary said, God, my Savior. Simeon said, my salvation. This one said, my old age widow said, my Redeemer. And here he says, there is no other name by which we can be saved. Then we see Paul. Paul is another hero in the Bible who speaks of, and he says what he was before. It is Saul, but who was Paul? He became Paul. So I have written Paul before. How he was. And he says in Acts 22:3, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia. Tarsus is the capital of Cilicia. And Tarsus is known for its trade, wealth and knowledge. Such a city. And it was captured by Rome. Before Saul was born, it says that 70 years before he was born, this was under, Roman had taken over. And what a privilege to be a Roman citizen, you know. All privileges. Without any, nobody could object to a Roman citizen. That were his. And then he says that, I am a Jew. His complete family is through and through Jew. And he says that, but brought it in this city, I studied under Gamaliel. Gamaliel is another one person. Not anybody studied under Gamaliel. It was not so easy. He was a top ranking official during his time. Someone said that, are you are IIT Powai? Great. You are from IIM Bangalore? These are the recognized institutes. No compromise with any other institute. Through the institute which you pass out, you are recognized by that. So Gamaliel was one of them. He was a Pharisee. He knew the families of this Paul, means before he was Saul. And then family was a tent maker. Initially, his father taught him how to make the trade in tent, how to make the tent. And then he was so well versed, then he was put under Gamaliel. And Gamaliel has very influence because he knew the council, means theological. We say, I have done theology, means we think so much. But he was a theologian, we did everything. And he has his own place in that council. So he sends this Saul back to Jerusalem. He teaches the law. There's somewhere the law is also there. Yeah, under Gamaliel was thoroughly trained in the law. Law of our ancestors. Law teaches us how to apply in social reforms. Gamaliel taught this Saul how to apply it in social way and even how to interpret the law for to be knowledgeable in that city. He knew everything. Saul, that is Paul. And then he says, he was trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you today. What happens? When you are having all this knowledge, what happens? He was really with that anxious mind and excited heart, Saul makes his way from Tarsus to Jerusalem. He was full of zeal. He was full of knowledge. And he was one of the Sanhedrin. Because Gamaliel pushed him and he had come all the way to Tarsus. And then what happened? We see that he knew all the laws, regulations, but when he came back to Tarsus, Jerusalem, he hears. What does he hear? He hears that a new sect has come in this place. And people are there. He heard that some one man who has come in the form of a flesh, a man called Nazareth, from Nazareth, he became a flesh, and then he took everything, that is what he heard, and they called this sect, they called them as the way. He gets troubled at all these things. Because, and then whatever the prophecies were proclaimed, that has been fulfilled in him. That is what they were talking in that town. So that city has become really troubled. And he was educated, full of zeal, full of knowledge, full of activities, because just he has studied and come into the field. And how he must be feeling it. So that is what he says. Ancestors, I was just jealous for God as any of you today. And then he boasts about himself. What does he say about himself? These are his own testimonies, where he reveals in the scripture who he was, what he is. So he says that, circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard of the law of Pharisees, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law of Moses. 757, he says, Acts, at this very, they covered their ears. This is where Paul was being stoned. Not Paul, Stephen was being stoned. And he was a witness. Because he was going with too much of zeal to pursue against these Christians. Those were the followers of this Jesus. And that is why we see, as we read this, here he says, Acts 7:57 onwards, we see, at this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning with him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of their killing him. He was doing his best how to persecute this church. How to persecute. Not only that, further he says, verse 2, godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. He was such a terror. A religious terrorist, we can call. He knew what he was doing is right, because he has studied under Gamaliel. And he could do this. Not knowing the reality, not knowing the truth, what it is all about. And then what we see further, we see that Paul is being transferred. With that orders, he goes on the way to Damascus, which is a three-day journey. And on the three-day journey, he says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told that what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on the straight street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." Then further, if you read that, see that Ananias goes what God says, and then he heals. He had a revelation. Who was persecuting the church, who was persecuting the disciples. We call as a religious. It is not about religion. It is about a relationship with God. Who real God is. We have nothing to do with religion. How are we related to Jesus? Who is he? What he is? One of the things, once I went and asked one of the person, he says, "I am Ram." "Yes, but Ram in Christ." What is it? Make a difference. And that is what we see here. And what happens? Falls after the, he went to Damascus. He was healed of his blindness and baptized by Ananias, proclaiming the gospel in Damascus and beyond. He had 3 long missionary trips. See, the way he got transformed, what about the outcome? The way he did. The person who was really after his disciples, after the church, who were put man and woman into the prison. Now he's getting transformed. He is transformed. And it's a 3 long missionary journeys throughout the Roman Empire, planting churches, preaching the gospel, and giving strength and encouragement to early Christians. Of the 27 books in the New Testament, Paul is credited how many? 14. Great. Because I got little, I was going through search and all of them, then I was seeing some say 13, some say 8, so it is 14. So 14 is the correct. See, so many letters. Not only that, in the prison he has written many letters. In the prison he was singing. It is not on the circumstances. He was rejoicing. What the word of said, he was not happy, he was rejoicing. It is not on the, your circumstances what you have believed. That was the heart of all of the conversion. And he has to go many through suffering. But in that suffering, he was rejoicing. In the prison, he was writing number of letters. In the prison, he escaped that jailer. He had to thrown back from the top of that room to other place. What not Paul got transformed? He got transformed. When he knew what he was doing right, but he encountered when with God, he changed. Are we ready to get encountered with God? Are we ready to see what God is speaking to us? Let us have our discerning ears to see what God has to tell us. Friends, when he can transform these people, when he encountered God on the way, he can be transformed. Then we know about this prodigal son. Prodigal son is what? He knew, but then he ran away. Ran away from his father's presence. That is what we see here. So here we see that it's a prodigal son, but it is, we can say it is a loving father. He's so loving. But then he says that, "Give me mine, what I am due, you give me." What did he do after getting all his money? after getting all his share, he wasted his money, he wasted his energy, he wasted his time. He became homeless. That nation where he fled, that became, went under recession. And then it became, there was a famine in that nation. And when that there was a famine, his, there was no job for him. Everything he wasted, he enjoyed. And then his condition went from bad to worse. We see that at last he found a job. And what is that job? Looking after pigs. As a Jew, you know, pigs are not to be looked after. But he was there. And then what he says, that then when he went and then he realized, then he came to his senses. Person who ran away from the father, he ran, he came to his senses. Then, and then first, he says, first thing, he was fed up. Fed up why? Because he has squandered his wealth. I have made it a little bold so that I need not read all the verses which I have written. So here he says, he went to a distant country taking everything. Then he squandered his wealth, on his wine and other activities. Lavishly he spent, we call as extravaganza, because nothing. Then he said, in wild living he said, and after he has spent everything, he began to be in need. He got fed up with all these things. And then he says, 17, then he came to his senses. Then he realized what best part I had in my father's life. So he became fed up. And then we see that he owns up his mistake. Then he says, when he came to his senses, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He owns up for his sin, what he has done. Friends, we all are sinners. The person who was, he had to flee. And now he is coming to his senses and says, I am sinner. I have sinned against heaven and against you. Then what happened? Then he offers his offer. He says that give me that he took all his share, whatever he required. And then now he's saying, now make me. He came to his senses. He says he has done a blunder mistake. So give me and now make me. Make me what? As a servant. He came to the point blank. I'm ready to stay as a servant in my father's house. This is nothing but what? Transformation. He transformed himself from give me to make me. And here we see that he admits to all what he has done. It is like change in attitude. Change it, because everything goes in our mind. And he has changed that attitude. What he did was really wrong. So he offers himself. And that is what he says. And then when he's offering himself, what they say? He said, Father is eagerly waiting for his lost son. He does not wait for his son to come. He runs. Father runs after the son. And what a privilege for him, for such a son who has spent everything and all. What does he say? He goes running. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Not only that, he put a ring then on his finger and sandals on his feet. And we see, fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and say. What a heart of the father. And then it is nothing but bring the fatten, it is nothing but celebration. He was not condemned. In spite of that, Father celebrated his coming. If our earthly father was there, what we would have said? Go away. But no, he did not condemn his son. He was so happy, so pleased to see him. And he said, come, let us celebrate. And we see that, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Friends, if you are away, you knew who Lord is. And if you are gone away from him, turn back. You are really missing. This is what we learn from the prodigal son. And then we see of Zacchaeus, tax collector, a very wealthy person, short guy. He comes running. He wanted to know who Jesus was. So he goes over that sycamore tree, sits on that, and Jesus says, come down. And then he comes, and then they have goes to his house for a feast. And see the what he says. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. What the people are saying? A tax collector is a sinner, because a lot of wealth they collect here and there. Because I remember one of my friend, he was under training as a police inspector. After graduation, he got into, and the family was so happy. Arey, he got into that job. But the person who was there, he was not happy. Then he got a call in the army. And he left the job. But the family was a little down. Why? Because in police, they knew there is a lot of money. So that is the difference. Zacchaeus has a lot of wealth. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Because he was a chief collector and was wealthy. And then he says, and he climbed on sycamore tree. Then Jesus reached the spot. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. And the people are saying, he has gone to be the guest of us. Doesn't make whatever your situation is. Doesn't make how far you have gone away. God, when touches you, will make a difference. And he says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation, the word again, salvation comes from. Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to seek the lost, to save them. Very purpose. He's a God. Why he should come on the earth? Just because you and me. So, that is what the word of God says. He came to serve, not to be served. John says, see the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. Friends, Zacchaeus, a wealthy person, here, see, we can see that he repented for what he did. Not only see we the act of restitution. Whom he had cheated, he is going to give back. He says, how many times? Lord, here and now give half of my possession to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times. Four times. Act of restitution. Friends, it doesn't make whatever state we are. God wants that we should come as we are. It's more. Then we come to the well, who is a woman at the well. She's a Samaritan woman. There is no relation between Jews and the Samaritans. But then, what relation is that? That is what he says. But when God encounters her, when God speaks to her, go get your husband. She says, I have no husband. She came to know. He's revealing many things. Yes, you are right, he says. You had five husbands. And then what we see here? We see it. Woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Directed. What was her query? The same thing has been hit on me. The same Messiah is me. And that is what we see here. Then what happens? And verse 39 onwards we can read. He says that she left everything, that jar and all pot, whatever she had near the way, she left like that. She forgot everything because many things had been revealed by Jesus to her. She goes back and then 39 onwards, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. An outcast woman was touched by Lord Jesus Christ, and she admits, she became an evangelist. Not only that, he says the savior of the world, and the word of God says 3:16, God so loved the world. It is not for only for you and for me. He came for the whole world. Whether you are Ram, whether you are Rahim or you are Andrew, all are in Christ because he came for each and every. It makes no difference. So she became evangelist. So an outcast woman, she turned to the Lord. God encountered. Then we see here Jonah. Jonah, what else? He was a disobedient, but then he repented when he went into the fish. He repented. And then God answered. What about Samson? Delilah, who cheated her. And thereafter, he was in adultery. He was in bad state. He was in darkness. But then, he asked, prayed God, God, give me the strength again. Did God answer? Yes. God restored back that strength to him. Even if you are in darkness, God will answer. Turn to God. Pray to God, and he will turn from right to total abortion. What about Rahab? She had heard. If you read Joshua chapter 2 and 6, we'll come to know of Rahab. She turned to the Lord because she had heard. Spies were sent, and she had given a place for Rahab. Rahab had given a place for the spies, and she informed everything about the city. Thereafter, they were sent back, but when they came back at Jericho with Joshua and the Israelites, when they came back to Jericho, she and her family were saved. Just because of her faith, she believed their God is a mighty God. Their God can do anything. And she had heard those two kings who had been killed. That is what Rahab did. So here he says, one can be grafted into God's family tree. No matter whatever your flaws or mistakes, the good news is they can be forgiven. They can be transformed. So getting transformed is what he says. Do not be conformed to this world. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewal of your mind, that by tasting you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Friends, this Romans 12:2, renewal of your mind. Change of your mind. Everything is in the mind. Get transformed. And we can do wonders. God can do wonders into your life. Obedience leads to transformation. That is, that it is never too late to turn your life around and serve God. That God is willing to forgive us no matter how bad we have been. That with faith, anything is possible, that God can use anyone for his purpose, no matter their past. Friends, let us close our eyes. Can we stand up, all of us?